And I want us to sort of explore perhaps the moment we're currently in. What affordances or constraints are there in relation to teaching race? Because again, my sense is race is maybe there in terms of diversity or, you know, a more broader agenda, because it's tricky, isn't it? How do you deal with that contradiction of we're talking about a construct, but a construct that works in very lived experiences, in very lived sort of ways in people's lives in the present and in the past. And in the history curriculum, we have substantive concepts, which are often parliament and things like that. I've never really seen, and I've been in the game quite a long time, race as a substantive concept as part of a school curriculum. And I kind of wonder partly why that might be, why are people averse to that? And like I say, the second bit is, what do we think is going on at the moment?
I think one simple reason why, to give people the full benefit, that they don't engage with race that much is it's quite complex. People don't know exactly what position to take. So people who mean well, teachers who mean well, may feel, oh, this isn't my place. So I don't know if I can say this thing without getting it wrong. Or who do I go to? Who are the voices that will explain, you know, why I should do this, how I should do this, and the way I go about it? So it is complicated. I suppose that's where the full community has to make a point of making people feel comfortable talking about these issues. People talk about spaces, you know, where they can discuss ideas of race and including, you know, everyone. So we were having a conversation with a colleague a couple of days ago about some schools who were struggling to get Black history into their curriculum because they were being told by senior leaders, we don't have any Black children, so why should we teach this history? I'm not sure why they would have taken that position, but one reason could be because they haven't quite understood who this history is for as a nation, you know, forming this new national path in light of the recent conversations. It's important we all talk about it.
I definitely agree with a lot of what Abdul was saying. I think one of the things when I sort of hear the conversations about people being uncomfortable or the controversy around sort of thinking about race and racism in the curriculum, for me, though, it's a flag about a misunderstanding about what these concepts mean. It's sort of an invitation to us as educators. It kind of lets us know we have a lot of work to do. I think one of the things for me, it's oftentimes signaling a kind of understanding about race and racism that's very operative only at the interpersonal level, so that people are thinking about being controversial or emotive or uncomfortable when we're thinking about them in relation to personally what it might mean for how we identify with other colleagues in the room or other students in the room or our own histories or personally socially unjust conditions. And I do think they're important. I do think that level is important in terms of thinking about the concept of race and racism, but I don't think it captures the full scope and, to Abdul's point, the nuances of what those terms and what those concepts do and how they function. And I think there's a real way that I think integrating conversations about race and racism and really frameworks, ways of thinking about race and racism is really, to me, more of an invitation to kind of think historically, to understand how people have been positioned differently in society in terms of access to resources, to protections, to the ability to live certain kinds of freedoms. It's an invitation to kind of name disparities that we might see and injustices in the world and try to think deeper about, you know, how they came to be and also think how we can disrupt them or how we can confront them. To the point about thinking about the now, we have to sort of acknowledge that I think transatlantically in particular, there's sort of a huge debate and really backlash against the teaching of things like critical race theory. And you see in the US context, a kind of pushback against things like the 1619 Project and debates in the UK about sort of the place of Black studies in the curriculum. And to me, you know, again, those debates are really about, it's not about critical race theory, because I feel like there's no real public understanding about what that means. To me, part of that argument is about is letting us see certain social forces, oftentimes political forces in society that are unwilling to really reckon with history and what that might mean in terms of how our students and future generations and people in the here and now might look at the present very differently and also might want to orient themselves towards a much more radically different future. And I think that's what's at stake in some of these debates that oftentimes sort of settle us on this question of what makes us comfortable or uncomfortable. And I think the bigger work that we have is to some extent to upend the narrowing of the view of what race and racism is and how it functions in the world. And I think history has a huge role to play in that for all sorts of reasons. So I think, you know, those are some of the things that kind of come to mind for me around these debate when people sort of use the argument about we shouldn't address these issues because they're going to elicit certain kinds of emotional responses or present certain kinds of controversies that we don't want to manage. I think the framing of the concepts are not fully appreciated when we're witnessing some of those conversations.
People are right on point with everything they're saying. And it was, you used the word reckoning there, Canetta. And that just reminded me of the starting point when we're talking to trainee teachers about teaching transatlantic slavery. We always start with the concept of reckoning and say, why is teaching about transatlantic slavery so challenging when teaching about the Holocaust or even about apartheid South Africa in England is not seen as so challenging? And I think the problem is an absence of reckoning. There has never been a national reckoning with transatlantic slavery. We know that the Germans have had, you know, they've had decades of a very challenging and difficult, but ultimately quite fruitful reckoning with their past. I mean, we talk about that with the trainee students and say that really the classroom is the one place where some kind of reckoning needs to happen. But that's a terrible burden to place on a teacher. And I mean, the reason we talk to them about that is so that we can help them. But I think a lot of the reason teachers are very anxious about race in the classroom is that sense of responsibility with no national framework to deal with that. So their psyche is one of amnesia. They come to this with a national forgetting. We didn't do any of that. In fact, you know, there's pressure now to say we should be remembering only the nice stuff. And what we know that from our experience of working with trainee teachers, that particularly white teachers are intimidated at best by the idea of teaching about Black history to Black students. And I think the reason that they are intimidated is the sense that they realize that they've got to be responsible for something where there's been no national reckoning. There's no sense of direction.
Something that Abdul said at the beginning, and I think something that we would all sort of say, and that kind of refers back to something that Canetta said earlier, that in a sense, as somebody, if you like, from a mixed race background or a racialized background, we have no choice but to engage with these issues. And actually, I would say that that extends to all of us. And actually, you know, we all don't have a choice to. But that doesn't mean to say just because we're born into a racialized position or that we got all the answers either. And there's something that in, I think it's, is it Kendi who wrote How to Be an Anti-Racist? And he talks about, as a Black man in America, he himself was making mistakes. Actually, we're always learning about that particular process. And that is really, really important. And then specifically with the point that Robin was raising about white teachers and some of their ambivalences, particularly if they're in a much more diverse setting, is the work that Richard Harris and Rosemary Rees did about one of the things you could really alight on is really thinking about purpose and what the purpose of history education actually is here. And if it is, if I go back to those things that I was saying about understanding the human conditions, understanding how to become a citizen and understanding identity, that's another reason why you have to engage with these particular issues. And thinking about your purposes of teaching history education might be a useful way for you to start, but also recognizing that there's a process of educating yourself all the time, listening to your young people, reading around the subject. We would all be in that situation. I think back to when I taught issues pertaining to race in the 1990s, I would be horrified by the ways in which I was approaching it, given what I've now, my thinking has moved on and things like that subsequently. And I think that's important to say, is that it's not a fixed moment. We're all learning in part of this process, given the complexities and nuances that we talked about earlier.